Our next speaker, Sally Pipes, is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Pacific Research Institute, a San Francisco-based think tank founded in 1979. Sally addresses national and international audiences on healthcare issues. She's been interviewed on ABC's 2020 with John Stossel, CNN's Lou Dobbs Show, Glenn Beck Show, NBC's Nightly News with Brian Williams, Fox Business Network, The O'Reilly Factor, Your World with Neil Cavuto, The Today Show, Kudlow and Company on CNBC, MSNBC, Dateline, Politically Incorrect, The Dennis Miller Show. She doesn't sleep. She has a regular column in Forbes.com called Piping Up, and is written for The Examiner newspaper, Investor's Business Daily, The Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today, Financial Times of London, Real Clear Politics, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, San Francisco Chronicle. Okay. Her first book, Miracle Cure, How to Solve America's Healthcare Crisis and Why Canada Isn't the Answer, was released in September 2004, and it's available on Amazon.com. In October 2008, she published her second book, The Top 10 Myths of American Healthcare, A Citizen's Guide. And most importantly, her current book, The Truth About Obamacare, was published in August 2010 and is available outside. Ms. Pipes is a former Canadian and became an American citizen in 2006. Please join me in welcoming Sally Pipes.
Well, thank you very much, Art, for that kind introduction. And I'd like to thank Richard as well. And I hope the timekeeper is not taking that time away from me. One thing you did miss was that Michael Moore, in his movie Sicko, took a clip that I did with Bill O'Reilly to saying why I didn't like the Canadian healthcare system. And then he used it to introduce a lot of people who love the Canadian healthcare system. Obviously, people who've never really had to use the Canadian healthcare system for anything serious. My husband kept saying, I hope you're getting royalties from that because Michael Moore stole that clip. But when I ask audiences, and I will now, how many people saw the movie Sicko? See, that's why there are no royalties, because it wasn't a great success. So with a historic vote, the 2,500-page Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was signed into law on March 23rd, just over 1 year ago. And 11 days before that legislation was signed, the Speaker of the House from San Francisco, where I work, Nancy Pelosi, said, we have to pass this bill so that we can find out what's in it. That was the motivation for my writing The Truth About Obamacare. And it was funny, the very next day, Regnery came and said, do you want to write a book in 10 weeks? And of course I said yes, not realizing what a nightmare that would be. But we did make it, so it was. It's been very good. What I like to say is understanding healthcare is similar to unraveling an onion. There are many layers and many tearful moments. I think that everyone would agree we all want affordable, accessible, quality healthcare. The question is, how do we achieve that goal? And there are two competing visions for achieving it, one which relies on empowering doctors and patients, what Art was saying, and encouraging innovation in pharmaceuticals, biologics, and medical devices. The other vision involves increasing the role of government in our healthcare system through increased mandates, subsidies, taxes, and controls on insurance companies. If you were like me and listened to all of Obama's 58 speeches on healthcare reform, it would cause you to turn gray, you would realize that in the early days he talked about health care reform, but by the time August of 2009 came around, he started talking about health insurance reform and controls on insurance companies. Anyway, Obama was the first president in 75 years to be able to get through the passage of this terrible health care law. It started with FDR, but he did get it through. His vision, of course, is for greater government control of our healthcare system, and I believe his ultimate goal is a Canadian-style, single-payer, Medicare-for-all system. It's what the late Senator Ted Kennedy always talked about. He wanted Medicare for all, but himself got the finest healthcare in the world. Very few people realize we do not have a free market or a competitive market in healthcare in this country. 50% of healthcare today is in the hands of government, whether it's through Medicare, Medicaid, State Children's Health Insurance Plan, and the Veterans Administration system. So how do we achieve universal coverage while bending that cost curve down? The United States spends 17.6% of GDP on health care. And, of course, the president said, and many of his compatriots, it's far too much. Now, I am from Canada, and Canada spends about 10.4% of GDP on health care. Well, isn't that fabulous? Well, no, it's not. Because when the government took over the health care system, they were unable to estimate how much health care people would demand when it's free. So the government had to set a global budget and say, we're spending 10.4%. But the result of that is long waiting lists for care. The average wait today in Canada from seeing a primary care doc to getting treatment by a specialist is 18.2 weeks. That's over 4 months. Care is rationed, and particularly for the elderly, and, of course, lack of access to the latest technology, whether it's MRIs, CT scans, PET, surgeries, all of these things. The exciting news in Canada is that on the election last Monday, the Conservatives won their first majority government in 23 years. Stephen Harper... Yes. Stephen, the election was really fought on the healthcare issue. And Harper talked about we have to privatize parts of the Canadian healthcare system. The NDP and the Liberals ran on a platform of solving these long waiting lists through increased taxes. The Canadian people rejected that idea. And yet here we are in this country moving down a path similar to a system that the United Kingdom and Canada knows does not work. And as you know, the Affordable Care Act was passed without a single Republican vote. The Obama, Pelosi, and Harry Reid did not care about the views of us, the American people. The Rasmussen poll last week still shows 57% of Americans want this health care bill repealed and replaced. As many of you in this audience are doctors, you need to know, in all of the polls of late, 45% of practicing doctors have said they're considering seriously getting out of the practice of medicine because of Obamacare. And the Center for Workforce Studies has shown that by 2019, there will be a shortage of general surgeons and primary care doctors of 91,000. And when the president said over and over again during these speeches, we need to have more people practicing primary care, it will reduce costs. Well, let me tell you, in Canada, 17% of Canadians are waiting to get a primary care doctor because nobody goes into primary care because you're the low man on the totem pole and you're paid the least amount of money. So with that as background, in my book I have 14 pillars about Obamacare, and I don't have time in 15 minutes to talk about all of them. I'm just going to talk about a couple. The president's key goal was universal coverage and bending the cost curve down. So those are pillar number one. How do we do that? Well, on the issue of universal coverage, the Congressional Budget Office has shown by 2019, 23 million Americans will still be uninsured out of that Census Bureau number of 50.7 million Americans who are uninsured, not meaning that they don't get health care, but at a particular point in time, they don't have insurance. And this ties back to what Art talked about, employer-based coverage. What the Affordable Care Act plans to do is add 34 million people to the rolls of the insured. 18 million of them will be added to Medicaid, the program for low-income Americans, and the rest will receive a federal government subsidy to buy insurance in these state-based exchanges. But I want to tell you that one of the most interesting facts is that of those 50.7 million Americans, 14 million of them are already eligible for Medicaid and have not signed up. And I ask you, why is that? Well, I believe it's because people who are Medicaid eligible find it very difficult to find a doctor because the reimbursement rates to doctors for people on Medicaid from the government are so low that they can't get a doctor. So here we're going to add 18 million more people to a program for people that can't find doctors. On the issue of bending the cost curve down, the president wanted a health care bill that cost $900 billion over 10 years. Well, the Affordable Care Act has come in at about $940 billion over 10 years. The CBO has already adjusted that to $1.45 trillion, so it's already up before most of the cost drivers are even in effect. And if you look at the real cost drivers, the exchanges, adding people to Medicaid, the federal subsidies, all of these things don't come into effect until 2014. So that you really have to look at the period 2014 to 2024. The cost of this legislation will be around $2.5 trillion over that 10-year period. So the president's statement, if you like your doctor and you like your health insurance, nothing will change. Things are already changing for the American people. We also have 159 new boards and commissions under Obamacare, and 16,000 new IRS agents are going to be hired just to monitor what Art was talking about. My second pillar is the individual mandate, and it is the most controversial part of the Affordable Care Act. There are constitutional challenges. Actually, there were 31 constitutional challenges. The two most important are the Virginia case. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals heard that earlier this past week. And the three judges, two were appointed by Obama and one by Clinton. I think it's probably likely that this three-judge panel will say the Virginia case is constitutional just based on the questions that were asked. The other case is the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal, the decision that Judge Vinson of Florida, representing 26 governors and the National Federation of Independent Business, Judge Vinson in Florida ruled that the individual mandate was unconstitutional and the whole Affordable Care Act. That case will be heard in Atlanta on June the 8th. So the whole issue is over the question of, does the federal government have the power to force us to buy a product in the private market, and if not, to charge us a tax or a penalty? So there's a lot going on. I think this will go to the Supreme Court, probably this fall, and the Supreme Court will make a decision probably in June of 2012, which is 6 months before the federal election. This is a very, very important part, because if the individual mandate is ruled unconstitutional, the whole of Obamacare will fold because of the issues like guaranteed issue and community rating. So the question is, does the decision to not buy insurance constitute economic activity that affects commerce because the uninsured raises the cost for everyone? And it was very noteworthy that this past week, on the day of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the government, HHS, came out with their study saying the cost of uncompensated care to hospitals was $49 billion. So I have filed an amicus showing why it's nowhere near $49 billion. Medicare, which Art talked about under Obamacare, is going to be reduced by $575 billion over 10 years. So all of those seniors who love AARP and think they're getting a great deal under the Affordable Care Act, that people are now realizing cutting Medicare by $575 billion over 10 years so that the government can add 18 million people to Medicaid, because that's going to be about $525 billion. Our seniors are going to have ration care. One in three Medicare-eligible patients today already cannot find a doctor because doctors don't want to take patients where the reimbursement rates are so low. There's a lot going on with the budget. What Obama wants to expand the IPAB, that's not the iPad, but the IPAB, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, give it a lot of authority. I believe that programs like vouchers and premium support, means testing, are the way to solve the problem of the costs of Medicare. The Medicare trustees came out yesterday and said the Medicare program will be bankrupt by 2024, which is 5 years earlier than they said a few months ago. There's a whole lot of things with medical loss ratios, how much insurance companies have to pay out of the premiums they collect. The administrative costs are about 15% for insurance companies. The new study shows that insurance agents, since the beginning of this year, because of the MLRs, their commissions are already down about 25%, and 75% of people have said this is the case. Accountable care organizations, another frightening term, it's just sort of like a super HMO, where Medicare patients would get their care through these accountable care organizations, where doctors and hospitals would band together to provide what is lower cost care. We just saw earlier this week, too, that the American Medical Group Association said 93% of their private practicing physicians will not sign on to accountable care organizations. Mayo and the Dartmouth Health System also came out last week. Accountable care organizations are not going to bend the cost curve down. They're going to ration care for everyone. So I believe that ultimately, if the Affordable Care Act is not repealed and replaced, we are going to be on a path to a single-payer Medicare for All system. Last week, Bernie Sanders from Vermont and Jim McDermott from Washington State introduced a single-payer bill. The Vermont legislature has passed a single-payer bill, and Governor Shumlin says he's going to sign it into law. So in many cases, we are on the path to single-payer. I think that there's no public option in the Affordable Care Act, but we will get one. Private insurers will be crowded out, and we will all be left in this kind of a system. There is a number of other things going on with repeal, replace. I don't have a lot of time, but there are defunding issues. And Michelle Bachmann and Steve King have, you know, written to the leadership of the Republican Party saying, you know, we need to defund the 16,000 new IRS agents, the expansion of the Medicaid, all of these things. $23 billion is going to be spent this year unless this is defunded. And also we need to repeal the 2.3% tax on medical devices. We need to repeal IPAB, and we need to repeal the CLASS Act, that long-term care provision that even Max Baucus called it a Ponzi scheme. So, and then finally, the 1099 reporting requirement has already been repealed and passed into law. So unless this is repealed and replaced, this is the largest entitlement program since the Great Society. What are the solutions? Well, Art talked about the tax code. That is one of the most important ones, the change for the healthcare system. I also, my key issue is we need to empower doctors and patients. Then costs will come down. States need to reduce those 2012 costly mandates that add 20 to 50% to the cost of premium. Each state has about 47. They range from in vitro fertilization to alcohol rehabilitation to hair prostheses. Now, all of the work that I've done on working against Obamacare, I think I might need alcohol rehabilitation sooner rather than later. We also need the states to do medical malpractice reform. Texas did it. California has the MICRA law. Docs go into these states, and the cost of health care comes down. The president said over and over again, doctors do practice defensive medicine because they want to line their pockets with money. Doctors practice defensive medicine because they're afraid of being sued. And so there was a federal bill just introduced into Energy and Commerce this past week, and which would be a national MedMal bill. I'm very capping non-economic damages at $250,000. This is worrying. I'd rather have the states do medical malpractice reform. But anyway, it's something that's greatly needed. So those are some of the solutions that I talk about. The question I ask is, who do you want to be in charge of your health care? An HMO bureaucrat, a government bureaucrat, or do you yourself want to be in charge of your health care? As Newfoundland Premier Danny Williams, when he was diagnosed with needing heart surgery and was told he had to be on a waiting list in Canada, and he, as I say, was a premier, he went to the Mount Sinai Hospital in Miami, Florida, and paid out of pocket for his surgery. When he came back to Newfoundland, the Canadian press was, "How can you possibly do this?" And Danny Williams said, "It's my health, it's my heart, it's my choice." We all want choice. Universal choice is the answer for universal coverage. Taxes are going to be up unless this is repealed. Care is going to be rationed. Deficits will be up. We are on the road to serfdom, and we need an off-ramp. As P.J. O'Rourke says, if you think healthcare is expensive now, just wait until it's free. Thank you.